Manuscript Releases, Volume 6, Mr. Number 375, Race Relations and Ecumenism. Those who work this field, the Southern states, must practice self-denial, and facilities must be provided wherewith they can work the field. Missionaries are wanted. God calls for them to take up their neglected duties. But the missionaries must not be sent to this field without the facilities to carry forward the work. Means are required. Let farmers, financiers, and builders come in and use their art and craft to improve lands, to build humble cottages, for this field can be made a fruitful field. God's means are not to be abundantly bestowed on a few privileged ones, so that they shall become exalted in pride, spreading themselves like a green bay tree, while the most needy, suffering ones are left without succor. Let not those who are in positions of responsibility rest satisfied, saying, "Be warmed and clothed and fed, and do nothing to relieve the temporal and spiritual necessities of the suffering ones." If the managers of the Review and Herald office had been walking in the fear of the Lord, they would have esteemed it a privilege to make personal sacrifices, and would have seen ways to use the facilities of the great publishing house under their control for the advancement of the Southern work. If they had felt the responsibilities of faithful stewards, they would have seen the needs of the colored people, and would have given sympathy to those working for them. Instead of laboring to take all they could get from the workers to add to the profits of the publishing house, they would have freely given the profits of the publishing house to help the poverty-stricken mission. Instead of planning other books to crowd the gospel primer out of the field, they should have encouraged and helped the laborers to bring out other works to be a help to their missionary labors. If the managers of the publishing house had gone farther than to donate the publisher's profits, and had made liberal donations of books to be used in the Southern states, or of the labor on some editions when the mission was in special need, the publishing house and its managers would have been abundantly blessed in so doing. Not only would such a course have met the approval of God, but it would have been a commendable example of cooperation that would have had influence with all our people. If the Southern field were not needy, if there were not a pressing necessity for the work to be done there in many different lines, why should the Lord keep the question constantly agitated as He has done for so long? We must redeem the time. This long neglected field must be worked. Without delay, workers must be prepared for this field. Our people should now be raising a fund for the education of men and women in the Southern states, without regard to color, who, being accustomed to the climate, can work there without endangering the life. Promising young men and young women should be educated to become teachers. They should have the very best advantages. Schoolhouses and meeting houses should be built and teachers employed. Large numbers should not be gathered for instruction in any one place, for it would attract attention and work evil to teachers and the school. Far more will be accomplished by collecting small numbers in different places. There is the greatest need for all kinds of missionary work. I shall give the message and the instruction that has been given me in regard to the work, not as my brethren advise, for they see things with a clouded understanding. I have lost confidence in their spiritual discernment, and in their plans and methods, because the light that they are following is directly contrary to the light that the Lord has given me. If their plans are accepted, the work in the Southern field will be carried forward in a way that is contrary to the way in which the Lord has shown me it should be carried forward. The difficulties and hindrances met with in the work in the South are a repetition of the difficulties and hindrances that we met in Kurenbang, and in every other place where the Lord has shown me that a work was to be done. There have always been those men and women who were ready to use tact and influence to fashion things after their own human judgment, repressing and hindering the work. This is the word which comes to us from Christ. If it had been essential for us to search the fathers, Christ would have told us so. But the fathers do not all speak the same thing. Which of them shall we choose as a guide? There is no need for us to trust to uncertainty. We pass by the fathers to learn of God out of His word. This is life eternal, to know God. Oh, how thankful we should be that the Bible is the inspired word of God. Holy men of old wrote this word as they were moved by the Spirit. God did not leave His word to be preserved in the memories of men and handed down from generation to generation by oral transmission and traditional unfolding. Had He done this, the word would gradually have been added to by men. We would have been asked to receive that which is not inspired. Let us thank God for His written word. The commentaries written about the word do not all agree. Often they come into collision with one another. God does not ask us to be guided by them. It is His word with which we have to deal. All can search this word for themselves. and they may know that the teaching of this precious book is unchangeable. The opinions of human beings differ, but the Bible always says the same thing. The Word of God is from everlasting to everlasting. The Bible was not given only for ministers and learned men. Every man, woman, and child should read the Scriptures for himself or herself. Do not depend on the minister to read it for you. The Bible is God's word to you. The poor man needs it as much as the rich man, the unlearned as much as the learned. And Christ has made this word so plain that in reading it no one need stumble. Let the humble Kotega read and understand the word given by the wisest teacher the world has ever known, and among kings, governors, statesmen, and the world's most highly educated men there is none greater than he. There are in our world many Christian workers who have not yet heard the grand and wonderful truths that have come to us. These are doing a good work in accordance with the light which they have, and many of them are more advanced in the knowledge of practical work than are those who have had great light and opportunities.